Very good, everybody. We're on Daf Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, down towards the bottom where you have the two dots. The Mishnah said, Zak Kal Kol Sheyesh Bo Musaf, right, that whenever you have a day that has Korban Musaf, so the Mishnah said, so then you're talking about reading four Aliyos. Iboy Luhu Tanis Tzibor Bekama. The Shaila is, how many Aliyos do you read on a Tanis Tzibor, on a fast day? So the Gemara says, Rosh Chodesh Umoed Ikon Korban Musaf, Arba. Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed have a Korban Musaf. So we read four Aliyos. Aval Hacha, the lack of Korban Musaf, lo, here, there's no Korban Musaf on a Tanis Tzibor. So we should only read three, Odilma, or perhaps Hachanami Ika Mosaf Tfila. So Rashi says there's a bracha of Anenu. We add to the davening on Tanis Tibor. So maybe when the Mishnah says Musaf, it doesn't mean Korban Musaf, it just means additional prayers. So on Tanis Tibor, you have additional prayers, so maybe we should read four Aliyos on Tanis Tibor. So, excuse me, Toshma. The Mishnah said on Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed, you read four. Hatanis Tzibor, Gimel. It doesn't say Tanis Tzibor in the list of four. So if it doesn't say Tanis Tzibor in the list of four, presumably you read three. But Emaresha, but it's not the whole Mishnah. There's more in that Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Vashenu b'chamishu b'shabes b'mincha, Korin Gimel. Hatanis Tzibor, Arba. It also doesn't have Tanis Tzibor in the list that you read three. So since Tanis Tibor is not in the list that you read three, so presumably you read four. But our Mishnah is not a good proof. It's inconclusive. How many Aliyos you have on Tanis Tibor? So Toshma, Derav Ikli LeBavel, but Tanis Tibor, Rav, once upon a time, went to Bavel, and it was a Tanis Tibor. And listen to what happened. Come, he got up. Kora Basifra, Rav read from the Torah. Pasach Barich, before he started reading from the Torah, he made a bracha. Chasim Lo Barich, when he finished reading from the Torah, he did not make a bracha. Then, look what happened next. Nafakule Yaman Payu, everybody, you know, bowed down to say Tachanun, they all fell on their faces to say Tachanun. Verav Lo Nafal Alape. And Rav didn't fall on his face to say Tachanun. This was like a story. Everybody knew this story. This was like big news, right? This is what happened. So now the Gemara says, Michti, Rav Yisrael Kokori. So the Gemara says, listen to this. Let's figure out what happened here. Rav was not a Kohen. Rav was not a Levi. So what Aliyah did they call Rav for? They must have called him for Shlishi. My time a Chasim Velo Baruch. Why didn't he make a bracha when he finished reading? He should have made a bracha at the end. It must be lav mishum devoy lemikre achrina basrei. It must be that they were still going to call somebody else for Revi. So the Gemara is operating under the impression that the first guy makes, the Kohen makes the bracha before. Nobody makes brachas in the middle, and only the last guy makes a bracha at the end. Originally, that was how it was done. But since people used to come early, people used to come late, leave early, like we were talking about last night. So then they stopped that practice, and everybody makes a bracha before, makes a bracha after. So Rav only made a bracha before. He didn't make a bracha after. How come Rav didn't make a bracha after? Presumably they were going to call somebody else after, which means that on Tanis Tzibor, we would read four Aliyos. The Gemara says, no, that's not right. Rav, b'kahani kara, they called Rav not for Shlishi, but for Kohen. Daha Rav Huna kari b'kahani. They used to call Rav Huna for Kohen also, even though Rav Huna and Rav were both not Kohanim. Bishlam Rav Huna kari b'kahani daha fila Rav Ami v'Rav Asi t'kahani chashiva t'ara Yisrael makiv kafayule li Rav Huna. So the Gemara says, I understand they used to call Rav Huna for Kohen because Rav Huna was the undisputed Gadol Hador. And even Rav Ami and Rav Asi, right, who were the greatest Kohanim of the day, they considered themselves to be subservient to Rav Huna. Rav Huna was the undisputed Gadol Hador. So therefore, they could call Rav Huna for Kohen, even though he wasn't the Kohen. Because the Kohen is allowed, to give in on his honor, right? Now, we wouldn't do that anymore. We would not do that. We don't do that today, right? Because could you imagine the Kohen would let me take Kohen and then not you? You think we have fights in shul now? You know, imagine if we allowed things like this. But Rav Huna, he was the undisputed Gadol Hador. For the undisputed Gadol Hador, so they called Rav Huna for Kohen. But Rav, ha'ika Shmuel de Kahana Hava, v'davar Ali, so the Gemara says, but Rav was not in that situation. Because Shmuel was alive when Rav was alive. And Rav used to give honor to Shmuel. And Shmuel was a Kohen. So they couldn't have called Rav for Kohen. So Gemara says, no, Shmuel nami make of havakayef leila Rav. No, The reality is that Shmuel even would have given it to Rav and said that Rav was the undisputed God of Ador, but Rav Havad Ovid lay kavod, but Rav used to give honor to Shmuel anyway. V'chi Ovid lay befun of, shalo befun of, lo Ovid lay. But Shmuel wasn't even there when this story happened, and so they could have called Rav for Kohen, so maybe that's why Rav didn't make a bracha after, because in reality, maybe they called Rav for Kohen. So Hakanami Mistavra, Da'abrachani Bechani Kari. And the Gemara says, you know what, it even makes sense that they would have called Rav for Kohen. It makes more sense that they called him for Kohen than for Shlishi to Isa. Because if they really called Rav for Shlishi, lifaneha my time a barach. So then why did he make a bracha before he started reading? So the Gemara says, you know, it must be, if he made the bracha before and they called him for Shlishi, it must be la'achar takana. It must be that he made, it was after they already made the decree that everybody would make their own brachas. So the Gemara says, well, if everybody's making their own brachas, ihachi la'acharei anami levarech. Very good, Tuvi. Right? So then he should have made the bracha afterwards. So the Gemara answers, and this is an amazing answer, Shani, it's not the same thing, because heicha di Yosef Rav, demi'ayel alei. When Rav was in shul, people would still come late. When Rav was in shul, people would still come late. So Rav had to make the bracha before he got the aliyah, because somebody might have just walked in and wouldn't realize that you have to make a bracha before the laning. But mefik lo nafki. But no one's going to walk out. When Rav is in shul, someone's going to walk out early. Could you imagine if people were in shul, they came to shul, and then after davening, Rav stood up to say a shiur, and people would walk out? No! No, inconceivable. That's what the Gemara says, right? When Rav would start, they said, they guess so maybe people would come late, but nobody would leave early. So since nobody would leave early, Rav didn't have to make a bracha after, because they're going to call somebody after. That person can make a bracha. Good. Toshma hazaklal kosha yesh bo bito melacha. We have no resolution, by the way, whether a tanis tibor is three aliyos or four. That's what we're still working on. So toshma hazaklal, this is general rule, kosha yesh bo bito melacha la'am. Any day where staying longer in shul is going to create bito melacha la'am. It's going to cause people to lose work. Kigon tanis tzibor v'tisha b'av, korin gimel. Like tanis tzibor, a fast day. People go to work on a fast day. Or tisha b'av, the Gemara even says people go to work on tisha b'av. So any day that staying longer in shul is going to cause people to lose work time, you could only read three aliyos and not more. The rabbis in the Gemara already were very sensitive that people had to catch a train after Shacharis. They already knew how this worked. But if there's not going to be a loss of work to people, kigon, amazing, roshei chadashim v'cholo shamoed, because no one works on Rosh Chodesh, and no one works on Chol HaMoed, right? So Rashi and Tosis both over here ask, Chol HaMoed I sort of get. Chol HaMoed might have an Isser Malacha, but Rosh Chodesh doesn't have an Isser Malacha. What is the Gemara talking about? Isser Malacha on Rosh Chodesh. So Rashi and Tosis both assume that's talking about ladies, that ladies don't do Malacha on Rosh Chodesh because Rosh Chodesh was given to ladies special holiday because they didn't give gold to the Egel Hazav, which means that both Rashi, Tosis, and the Gemara all assume there was ladies in the workforce. Neither here nor there. That was half a joke. In any event, the Gemara says like this, right? So then Korin Dalit. So then you could read four aliyos on Chol HaMoed or on Rosh Chodesh because people aren't running to work anyway. So then you could read four aliyos. Oh, but Shmami, no. We see from there that on Tanis Tzibor, you only read three. It's explicit price. You only read three on Tanis Tzibor. Amar Rav Ashi, v'ha'anantnan, v'ha'anan lotnan, sorry, hachi. But didn't our Mishnah say this? Ze'aklal, kol yom sheyesh bo musaf, ve'eino yom tov, Korin Arba. Right? First, the Mishnah says that on Chol HaMoed and on Rosh Chodesh you read four aliyos. Then the Mishnah said, Zaklal, this is the rule, right? If there's Musaf and it's not an Isser Malacha, there's no Yom Tov, then you read four. La suye mai. What was that clause in the Mishnah coming to include? Lav la suye tanis tzibor v'tisha b'av. Is it not including tanis tzibor and tisha b'av that you would read four aliyos and not three? So Rav Ashi must nisin money. The problem with Rav Ashi is that we have another teaching that says like this. Lo tana kama v'lo Rav Yossi. Here we go. Detanya. Cholios basheni v'chamishi. If tisha b'av falls out on Monday or on Thursday, korin gimul umaftir echad. Then you read three aliyos. Monday, Thursday, tisha b'av. You read three aliyos and a maftir. But if Tisha B'Av falls on Tuesday or Wednesday, Kore Echad Umaftir Echad, then you only read one Aliyah and the maftir. This is a Soloveitchik thought that really you need the maftir, right? That really on Tisha B'Av, the main part is the maftir and not the Kriyas HaTorah. Neither you know that. Rav Yossi Omer Lo'olam Korin Gimul Maftir Echa. Rav Yossi says, no, it doesn't matter what day of the week it is, Tisha B'Av is always three. So now, Ve'el Akasha, so now our problem is that according to Rav Ashi, that on Tisha B'Av you read four aliyos, that's nobody's opinion, right? What did we just say? Either three, one, or three. But nobody says four, it's not a possibility. The Elokasha Zaklau. But what are you going to do? The Mishnah says Zaklau. What's it coming to add? So the Gemara says Lola. Suye Rosh Chodesh Umoid. It's coming to add Rosh Chodesh and Cholamoid. Rosh Chodesh and Cholamoid, you read four. It's coming to add Rosh Chodesh and Cholamoid. Habehedya Katani Lab Rosh Chodesh Umoid Koran Arba. It doesn't need to add those. It already said those. So the Gemara answers Simana Biyamo Yav Delotema Yom Tov and Cholamoid Kiadod Ininu. No, you might have thought that Yom Tov and Cholamoid are the same. And you read five Elias and Cholamoid. Just like you read five aliyahs on Yom Tov, and therefore the Mishnah had to conclude for us, Nekud Haiklala Biyotcha, that called it Tfele Milsa Mechavre, Tfele Gavre Yisera, that whenever you add to the sanctity of the day, you also add an aliyah. Hilchach Rosh Chodesh and Moed, Deiko Karbon Musaf, Koran Arba, Rosh Chodesh and Cholamoid that have a Karbon Musaf, they get four aliyahs. Yom Tov to Asr Basias Malacha Chamisha, you add Yom Tov as Isra Malacha, five aliyahs. Yom Kippur to Anish Kares, Shisha. Yom Kippur, you up the stakes, the punishment. Is kares and not just alav, six aliyahs. Shabbos, the ikar iser skila. Shabbos, you up the stakes even more. There's the iser skila, shiva. You read seven aliyahs. Gufa, the Gemara says, Rav Ikli. So the Gemara just concluded that on Tanis Tzibor, we only read three aliyahs. That's a conclusion, right? That's what we do. Good. Amazing. Gufa, Rav Ikli, above the Tanis Tzibor, come karbasavra, pasach bar, chasam lo barich, nafal kuleyama, payu, viravel, pay my time, ravel, nafal alape. Now we're going to the next part of the story. We just analyzed Rav reading the Torah on Tanis Tzibor. We concluded only three aliyahs. But there was more to that story. You remember? Rav didn't fall on his face for Tachanun. Why not? So the Gemara says, because Ritzbah Shel Avonim Haisa, there was a stone floor in that shul. Who makes a shul with a stone floor? You're not allowed to do that, right? You don't make a shul with a stone floor. Don't do that. Don't do that. I know everybody's getting into building mode here. I'm going to save us some money right now. No stone floor. I'm saving us money. Oh, good, good. Vitanya, if somebody wants to pay for it, we could talk about it. We could talk about it, right? But there was a stone floor in the shul. Vitanya, ve'evin maschis lo zinu bar tzechem lishtachavos aleha. Aleha yatam mashtachav ebar tzechem. Aval atam mashtachav el avonim shal beis hamikdash. You're allowed to bow down on the stone floor of the beis hamikdash, but you're not allowed to bow down on the stone floor anywhere else. So the Gemara answers, kid u'la damar u'la lo asratole le ritzva shal avonim bilvad. So you're only not allowed to bow down on a stone floor. So the Gemara says, "Ihachi, my iria Rav, afilu kulinami." So the Gemara says, "Well, then, why was Rav the only one who didn't bow down for Tachanun? Nobody should have done it." So the Gemara answers, "Kamet the Rav hava." No, the stone was only by Rav. Oh. The stone was only by Rav. So the Gemara says, "Veleza lagabe tzibura velimpo." So why alape? So why didn't Rav just move over a little bit? You know. So the Gemara says, "No, loboy lemitrach tzibura." We would have bothered other people. There's other people standing there. You're going to go. The shul was packed. You're going to go over. You make somebody else move. With Rav would have moved. Everybody would have moved over out of his spot. You know. And so Rav didn't want to do that. V'boy seima Rav pishod yadayim v'raglayim hava ovid. Or an alternative explanation: how come Rav didn't fall on his face? Because when Rav used to say Tachanun, he used to do a full bow all the way down on the floor, hands out, a whole bow. And Ula said, no, maybe the whole shul was really stone. The whole shul was stone. But when we say you're not allowed to bow down on a stone floor, Ula's opinion is that that's just a full bowing with stretching out arms and legs, the whole deal, right? So Rav didn't want to do that because he held like Ula was not allowed. But that's why everybody else bowed down, because everybody else didn't do a full prostration, but Rav did. So then why didn't he just do a regular bow? He didn't have to do the full bow. He didn't have to fully prostrate himself. So the Gemara says, that's how Rav said Tachanun. You want to do Tachanun differently? That's how Rav said Tachanun. By the way, this seems to be a very interesting source. Just put it on the back burner. It means that the whole shul said Tachanun one way, And Rav said Tachanun in a different way. You know, the Achronim talk about what happens if you daven a different Nusach HaTfilah than everybody else. You know, Rav Moshe has a tshuva like that, Rav Avadia has a tshuva like that, you know. So this Gemara seems to be a little bit not like Rav Moshe and Rav Avadia, right? Ben, we were talking about this once upon a time, right? The Gemara seems to assume that Rav did not do it like everybody else did it. And he could have done it like everybody else, but he didn't want to. So the net result was he did not what he usually does and not what they do. He did something entirely different. It's just interesting. Put it on the back burner. Right? Or alternatively, maybe he couldn't bow down because Rav was Adam Choshev. And for a very significant person to bow down like that, they only do that if they're positive they're going to be answered. Tosa says that this is only true if they're doing davening special for the tzibor, but not if they're doing their own personal tefillah. But that's why Rav maybe didn't bow down during Tachanun. Tana Rabbanan, Kida Alapayim. When there's different terminologies for bowing. So Kida is when you just bow down. You don't go on the floor and you don't bow your knees. You just bow down like this, like I'm doing here. Everybody on the radio, I'm sorry. Right? You just bow down like this. Right? You bring your face down to the floor. I'm not quite flexible enough to do a proper Kida, but that's what Kida is. Shenem Aratikod Basheva Apayim Eretz. Kriya, that's Kida. The second kind of bowing is Kriya. Al Birkayim. That's when you go down on your knees. Kriya is when you go on your knees. Vechenu Om Mechra Birkav Ishtachava, the third kind bowing, Ishtachava, Zupishut Yadayim Viraglayim. That's when you fully prostrate yourself, arms, legs, all laid out. Levi, once upon a time, did Kida. He demonstrated Kida in front of Rav, and he came up lame. I told you, I'm not quite flexible enough. Levi wasn't either. Is that what caused Levi to come up lame? A person should never complain about God. Because once upon a time, Levi complained about God. Rashi here says that he quotes a Gemara in Tanis. There was no rain, and Levi complained to God about it. And he came up lame. Umanu Levi, and that was Levi in that story. So the Gemara says, yeah, Hava HaGarma. It was all the same thing. Right, because he complained to God, that's why when he did the Kida, he came up lame. The Gemara says, "Amar Rav Chiya Bar Avin, Chazina Luhu La'Abaye V'Rava D'Matzliya Tzliye." I saw Abaye and Rava when they do Tachanun. So that's what Rashi says. When they do Tachanun, they bow on the side. They don't bow straight down on the floor, but they bow down on their side, and that's how they get out of the problem that we were talking about before, that Adam Choshev shouldn't do Nefilas Apayim unless they know they're going to be answered, so they used to bow on the side, and that's how they can get out of that particular issue. I'll pick up here tomorrow.